Today's text comes from Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 4. Apostle Paul's final words of exhortation to the Colossian church are about the importance of prayer. In verse 2, he urges them to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. In verses 3 and 4, he asks for their prayers as well, saying, "At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." In verses 3 and 4, Apostle Paul emphasizes the importance of preaching the gospel in his urgent prayer request, rather than seeking his own release from prison. Despite being imprisoned, his primary concern is for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be freely preached without hindrance. Whether he was in prison or out of prison, Apostle Paul's greatest concern and his greatest heart's desire was for Jesus Christ, the mystery of the gospel, to be preached and testified. Even though he is bound, he wants the gospel to be freely preached. Apostle Paul asks the church to pray not just for me, but for us. He is asking for prayer for all the servants of the gospel ministry, that God will open doors for them to proclaim Christ. Here we can learn one more thing about what's in Paul's heart. He wants all Colossian congregations to pray and participate with one heart and mind in preaching and testifying about Jesus Christ. This reveals the Lord's will for his church to participate in his gospel ministry together. Even though Paul is in prison and the Colossian congregations are outside of prison, they have one prayer request: to come before God as one, testify of Christ as one body, and grow into Christ together. Even though the worldly situations of each saint are different, they pray this prayer together until Jesus comes again. They stay awake with thanksgiving. To this prayer, do the Lord's will for his kingdom and righteousness, and then greet Jesus together in heaven. Therefore, all believers pray and live together with a desire to preach and testify of Jesus Christ to the end, regardless of the reality of suffering and persecution in different situations. That is why God has made us belong to one church, live in one desire, and pray until the end. We need to understand that there are no doors that can stop us from testifying about Jesus. Neither prison, illness, poverty, death, nor any other situation or circumstance can prevent us from sharing the message of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who create those doors and become trapped inside them. Then we mistakenly believe that we need those barriers to be removed in order to testify about Jesus. In reality, these barriers that we create cannot prevent us from testifying about Jesus. We need to first pray for our hearts to be softened so that we no longer desire to create these barriers. Please pray that we may have the willingness to testify about Jesus regardless of our circumstances. Let's also pray for God's grace to be given to us and our fellow believers so that we may faithfully witness Christ in all situations. Healthy individuals should diligently care for the church and the saints who make up the body of Christ. Those who are sick should endure with joy, holding on to God's love, the grace of Christ, and the hope of heaven until the end. Rich individuals should humble themselves and recognize their spiritual poverty before God, relying solely on grace and using their riches to help those in need as given by Jesus. The poor should boast of the riches of heaven through Jesus and live joyfully as God's children. Those going through suffering should rejoice in their participation in Jesus' suffering. Those who are hated and persecuted should testify to Jesus' love and forgiveness. People near death should bear witness to their hope, eagerly anticipating the eternal joy awaiting them in heaven. This is the life of the believers who want to witness Christ in every situation. If we have this desire in our hearts, we already have the faith that can overcome the world. Those who have this desire have the strength and power to witness the gospel, no matter whether they are sick, no matter how difficult their situation is, or even if they face death. If you do not have this desire, and just look at your own life and worldly situation, you become discouraged and despair. You do not rejoice in Jesus, and you live without the desire to testify of Him. That is why we must pray this prayer for ourselves and our brothers and sisters. The reason we want to proclaim Jesus is because we are so joyful and thankful for Him and the grace He has given us. On the contrary, not having the heart to testify about Jesus means not having that joy and thanksgiving. Therefore, please pray first so that we may know the gospel, taste the grace of Jesus, God's love, and the blessings of heaven, and recover joy and thanksgiving that can't be taken away from us. Apostle Paul, filled with joy and gratitude, desires that only Jesus be proclaimed, whether in prison or set free. If it is God's will, God will open the prison door, and he will go out to live as a witness for Jesus. If he remains in prison, he will preach the gospel to the guards and the other prisoners. Even if he never has the opportunity, he is committed to testifying to Jesus by sharing in his suffering and living joyfully while looking toward heaven. We can pray for anything, but the ultimate prayer should lead to this, not for our own glory, but for the glory of Jesus. Jesus must be testified and glorified through our lives. Today, let's consider Apostle Paul's request for prayer and the grace it embodies. Looking at it from a redemptive historical perspective, in the Old Testament, there were a few instances of people asking for prayer or praying for each other. Those with the authority to pray for others and for the kingdom of God were mainly those with a higher and holy calling, such as kings, priests, and prophets. For instance, the Israelites went to the priests to ask for prayers, and the high priest prayed for all the people. Kings also prayed on behalf of their people, as seen when King Solomon prayed during the dedication of the temple. Furthermore, prophets prayed for God's kingdom and the people, and even kings asked the prophets to pray for them, the kingdom of God, and the people. While there were exceptions, this was the most common practice in the Old Testament. However, it was uncommon in the Old Testament for priests, kings, or prophets to ask people to pray for them or to pray on their behalf. Instead, prayers in the Old Testament were mainly led by priests, kings, and prophets. We see that the prophets, who were responsible for conveying the Word of God, consider prayer as central to their ministry. While there were instances where the prophet Moses prayed for the high priest Aaron and the prophet Samuel prayed for King Saul, it's rare to find prophets like Moses or Samuel requesting prayers for themselves or their ministries. This is because the role of the prophets in the Old Testament was considered a higher and more sacred calling. As we well know, prophets are not only called to mediate the covenant between God and the people, but also to represent God and preach the Word of God with God's authority. They may even participate in God's counsels for this purpose. They were people who were called to embrace the will of God. In chapter 6 of Isaiah, we see the prophet Isaiah brought before the throne of God by the Holy Spirit, transform into the image of God, carrying God's will in his heart and called to preach the word of God. Thus, prophets can be said to have received the higher and more sacred calling. Although they prayed for the priests, kings, people, and the kingdom of God, they did not ask to pray for themselves or their ministry. However, in today's text, Apostle Paul, appointed by Jesus and entrusted with the ministry of the word, asked for prayers to the saints. Is this because the office of the apostle in the New Testament is lower and less holy than the office of the prophets in the Old Testament? No. If a prophet was a representative of the Old Covenant, an apostle was a representative of the New Covenant. And the glory of the offices of the Old Covenant cannot be compared to the glory of the offices of the New Covenant, as discussed in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The glory of the Old Covenant represented by Moses cannot be compared to the glory of the New Covenant represented by Jesus. Even though Moses' prophetic office had glory in the Old Testament, the glory of the apostles called in Jesus, and indeed all of the saints, is much greater. Even though Moses' face shined, reflecting the glory of God, he still had to cover his face with a veil because it was a glory that would disappear. But now, all the saints in Jesus have the glory of Jesus that will never disappear again when the veil is removed. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 6 through 9. He has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Apostle Paul refers to himself as a minister of the new covenant and states that he has the ministry of the Spirit who gives life. In contrast, Moses is described as a minister of the old covenant with a ministry of condemnation. According to Paul, the glory of the old covenant's office cannot be compared to the glory of the office of the new covenant. Furthermore, Paul asserts that not only the apostles, but all believers, the saints, have been called to serve in the new covenant, which he deems greater and more glorious than Moses. Paul emphasizes that all saints, including the apostles, are now called to the same high, great, and holy calling as Jesus. Unlike prophets such as Moses and Samuel, who did not ask the people to pray, Paul encouraged the saints to pray. This illustrates the glorious position of the saints in Christ. Additionally, the saints in the Colossae church who are requesting prayers are Gentiles. In the Old Testament, they were considered the lowest and unclean people, as it was seen as absurd to ask them to pray. However, now even these strangers and foreigners are regarded as part of the high and holy people of heaven. Now, under the new covenant, all saints, including Gentiles, are called to be royal priests and prophets of heaven. They are called to be esteemed people who participate in the ministry of the apostles and pray together. To whose glory has God now exalted all of the saints? He has exalted us to the glory of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus, as our mediator, prays for us and calls us to participate in his life and our office to pray for each other like him, and further, pray for the ministry of the kingdom of God. In the Gospel of Mark, when Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, he found them asleep and asked, Why can't you stay awake and pray with me for even 1 hour? These words show that Jesus invited his disciples to join him in prayer. It's amazing how the Lord's Prayer teaches us to address God as our Father who art in heaven. This allows us to confess God as our Father and join Jesus in praying for the glory of the Father's name, the Father's kingdom, and the Father's will. Jesus continues to pray ceaselessly, interceding for all his people as our covenant representative and mediator. He allows us to join in his prayers, encouraging us to pray for the church, his body, and for our brothers. While it's important to note that mediatorial prayer is solely Jesus' prerogative, we still have the privilege of participating in his intercessory prayer. God delights in our intercessory prayer for one another in Christ. We are called to be like Jesus and live in heavenly fellowship, praying for each other and with our brothers. Consequently, God the Father accepts our prayers as those of Jesus and fulfills his good will for our brothers. It's crucial to remember the incredible grace that comes from praying for each other and the church. Apostle Paul urges the Colossian congregations to pray and teach them about this blessed reality. He emphasizes that it is not the Colossians' responsibility to make prayers come true. Rather, it is God who makes prayers come true. Apostle Paul wants us to understand the blessed reality that Jesus has achieved and to testify of that reality together. This reality pertains to heaven, where all the saints, called to be God's sons alongside Jesus, unite in heart and mind to pray for God's kingdom and ministry in accordance with God's pleasing will, as well as for each other. God gladly listens to our prayers and carries out his pleasing will through our prayers in Christ. Our prayers are seen and received beautifully by God, and he rejoices when we pray together with one heart's desire. Hence, we should strive to pray continually, be vigilant, and pray with gratitude, not only for ourselves, but also the church, our brothers, and all the ministry of the Word and the Kingdom of God. We can experience the wonderful reality of heaven by seeking prayers and sharing prayer requests. Additionally, the reality of the prayers we offer surpasses the reality of the prayers enjoyed by Moses and Samuel in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 15 verses 1 and 2. Then the Lord said to me, though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my heart would not turn toward this people. Send them out of my sight and let them go. And when they ask you, where shall we go? You shall say to them, thus says the Lord, those who are for pestilence to pestilence, and those who are for the sword to the sword, those who are for famine to famine, and those who are for captivity to captivity. In the Old Testament, there were occasions when God forbade prophets like Moses and Samuel from interceding for the people and did not listen to their prayers because of the sins of the people. Even during the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel and the judgment of the southern kingdom of Judah, God prohibited prophet Jeremiah from praying for Judah and its people. God stated that even if Moses and Samuel had been present, he would not have listened to their prayers, as sins of Judah warranted judgment. This was the limitation of prayer under the Old Covenant. However, under the New Covenant, Jesus, as the mediator, never prevents his people from interceding and praying, and God always listens to the prayers Jesus offers. This raises the question, what has changed? This is because Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, bore all the sins of his people and even received the judgment we deserved on the cross. That is why God never forbids the prayers that Jesus offers while interceding for his people. God always hears Jesus' prayers and always fulfills them. Furthermore, God does not forbid our prayers as we participate in Jesus' prayers, but also listens and fulfills his pleasing will. When we pray for one another in Jesus, there is never a time when God forbids our prayers or does not hear us. Isn't this so amazing? We enjoy greater joy and privilege than Moses or Samuel. Jesus' glory and privilege are given to us by grace. Therefore, only by the grace of Jesus, by his blood and righteousness, can we freely, joyfully, and boldly pray, not only for ourselves, but also for each other, anytime and anywhere. When we pray for each other, God is pleased and listens to us. He always hears our prayers, which fills us with joy and encourages us to devote ourselves to prayer at all times. Through our prayers, we testify that Jesus is constantly interceding for us and that we are growing closer to him. Dear fellow believers, we cannot help but pray. Through prayer, let us experience and testify to the abundant grace, glory, blessings, and privileges found in Jesus. I urge you to pray for the ministry of our church, which continues the apostolic tradition. Please pray that our church will always be open to proclaiming and testifying about Jesus and the gospel. Also, pray for the ministry of teaching, administering sacraments, and guiding believers so that all aspects of our church's ministry may truly reflect Jesus. Please pray that the word of the Lord will be proclaimed, heard, understood, and believed through the grace of the Holy Spirit, leading to repentance, faith, joy, thanksgiving, and hope. Through baptism, pray that all believers will realize their union with Jesus and live as children of God. Through the Lord's Supper, pray that we may draw closer to the Lord by sharing in his love. Pray for all of us to become more like Christ and grow spiritually and healthy, bearing witness to the Lord's love and addressing sin through discipline. In particular, please pray for the pastors, elders, deacons, and those who have been called to serve in this church, and for those who have been prepared to serve in these offices. Please pray that all believers can work together with one heart and mind to carry out the Lord's ministry. Also, please pray for God to open the door for each believer to be able to testify only to Jesus, no matter what situation they are in. On the day Jesus returns, the day we finally enter heaven, there will be no more prayers, and what we have asked for will be completely fulfilled. On that day, all our prayers will turn into praise. Until that day, let us pray for the kingdom of God and righteousness, and through these prayers, I hope we will wake up and greet the Lord who will come again.